The basis for our meditation this morning is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 1, verses 35 to 41. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ," and he brought him to Jesus. Thus far, the text. Legend has it that St. Andrew was assigned the field of labor in Phrygia, an area north of the Black Sea. Accordingly, and understandably, he then became the patron saint of Russia. Another tradition, according to the apocryphal book, The Acts of the Apostles, or The Acts of Andrew, records that Andrew was crucified in martyrdom in Achaia, an area in Greece. Later traditions hold that his body was taken to Constantinople. It's then said during the Crusades, his body was transported to Italy. And one tradition even has it that an arm of Andrew was taken to Scotland, where he became the patron saint there. Now, I'm not aware that Andrew or any part of him ever arrived in America, much less Missouri. But I still think it might be appropriate to consider Andrew as something of a patron saint of seminary students. Not a patron saint in the sense that we would call upon him as an intercessor between us and Christ, but a patron saint maybe more in the lines of how the Augsburg Confession speaks about the way in which we should honor and remember saints. That is, first and foremost, that we give thanks for the mercy bestowed upon them and upon ourselves. Secondly, that we see them as strengthening our faith when we see how God is faithful to the promises he made to them, so he'll be faithful to the promises he made to us. And finally, that we honor them to some extent as role models for living out the Christian life. Now, why would I think of Andrew perhaps as a patron saint of seminary students? Well, first and foremost, Andrew appears to be one who is teachable, eager to learn, a passion to know, you might say. He apparently was a conscientious Jew, underwent radical repentance, became a follower of John the Baptist. When John points out, "There is the Lamb of God," Andrew goes and spends the day with him to learn of the Messiah and the arrival of the Messianic age. And what are we doing here but spending our days with Christ and his word, learning of the Messiah, learning of the arrival of the Messianic age? And especially at the beginning of a new quarter, with 10 weeks lying ahead of us of more learning, new discoveries, new insights. At times, sure, it becomes stressful and it becomes hard, and sometimes it might even become a little painful. But not only have you and I been shown the mercy of Christ and the forgiveness of sins purchased by Christ, we have been given the opportunity and the privilege that very few Christians have. That is, of spending day in and day out, all day, with the Word of God and understanding how that has been expounded within the history of the church and proclaimed, as well as how it is heard in our own day and age. We have been given the privilege of learning and hopefully having the same passion that Andrew had for discovering that the Messianic age has arrived and unpacking the mysteries of God's revelation given within his word of God to you and me. Not only that, not only does Andrew appear to be one who is teachable, who's eager to learn, who has a passion to learn, a passion for theology, you might say, but as evidenced by his call, not recorded here in John, but by the synoptics, a wholehearted dedication to Christ as well. In other words, one of the reasons we spend our time learning and delving into the intricacies of theology and the church's confession of Christ is that that word of God may arouse within our hearts an ardent desire and love for Christ and a passion for his gospel. You know, in a similar way, as some people might pick up an old coin and see simply an old coin, the trained eye of a numismatist will see the beauty of the coin as he examines the toning, the strike, and the luster of that coin. Some people may gaze up into the heavens and marvel at the pretty stars sparkling in the sky above us. But the one who has been trained in astronomy and cosmology can only stand in awe before the structures and the movements of the galaxies. And those of us who may be simply thankful that our bodies are healthy and functioning, a physician who has been trained in medicine and anatomy and physiology may only marvel at the minute intricacies of how the human body works. So at one time, we too may have rejoiced in the knowledge of the gospel, but as we delve into that gospel and are trained and learn all that the Word of God has to offer us as expounded in our confessions, as we learn about the miracle of the incarnation, the unfolding of the economy of salvation in the works of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the multifaceted character of the doctrine of justification, our hearts can only be moved by love for Christ and gratitude for the love of God made known in Christ, and hopefully a dedication for sharing the gospel of Christ. And that brings us to the third point about Andrew. Not only was he teachable, eager to learn, not only was he resolutely bound to Christ, but we also see him as perhaps the first evangelist, the one who does little more than bring his brother Simon to Jesus. But what an act that was, as the future history of the church would show. Elsewhere, we see Andrew as at the feeding of the 5,000, conversing with Jesus about the problem of caring for the needs of the multitude. Andrew calls Jesus' attention to the lad who had 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, a suggestion that hardly seemed worth noting. And yet through it, look what Jesus did. Later, we find Andrew bringing a request of certain Greeks to Jesus' attention. And then shortly thereafter, Andrew simply drops out of the biblical record. We hear very little, if anything at all, about him. Well, you and I may not always be engaged in the most spectacular or remarkable deeds. We may not necessarily become renowned. But in those acts that we do of either bringing someone to Jesus, looking out for someone's physical needs, teaching the Word of God, though it may not seem particularly spectacular, just as Christ works through Andrew, so he works through us as his instruments as well. Given all that, I think Andrew might make a pretty good patron saint of seminary students, those who are learning the Word of God, those who are growing in their love for Christ, and those who aspire to service within His church. In this we give thanks to God for His mercy to us. In this our faith is strengthened, and in this we have an example from whom we can learn. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.